You are listening to CEO Minutes, brought to you by Offutt Kerman, attorneys at law, your perfect legal partner.
Hi, I'm Kelsey Longacre, and I'm a principal attorney here at Offutt Kerman. I'm in the corporate transactions group, and I recently ran into Angie Barnett from the Better Business Bureau of Greater Maryland, and we found we had some things in common.
Absolutely.
including that we both moved to Maryland from Arkansas. I moved back after a brief stay there, but you've been here for 30 years now.
And I'm going, like, I'm thinking that you might be the first person I've ever met who actually lived in Arkansas. Okay. We had this common experience to share.
Well, and I asked you before we started filming, you know, where do you go for barbecue around here? And you admitted to me that you only go back to, like, the Memphis area to get barbecue.
Exactly. Now, you lived in the northwest corner of Arkansas, which
yes.
is so beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
I mean, it is just gorgeous. I lived on the other side. I lived more in the cotton fields, the Mississippi Delta, the flatlands. And so your question was so fun because you meant, like, where do you go to eat barbecue around here? And I don't. You know, I like my southern barbecue and I like my particular region barbecue. So barbecue's what I skip here. I said it was sort of like going to Dallas, Texas or someplace like that and then ordering a Maryland crab cake. You just don't do that.
Now, and see, I moved to Northwest Arkansas from the Kansas City metro area, so I'm like Kansas City barbecue all the way.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as of the date that we're filming this, the Chiefs are playing in the Super Bowl this Sunday. I'm fully planning on eating a lot of barbecue this weekend.
Good for you.
But, you've been in Maryland for 30 years and you've stayed here. What's kept you in the area?
It is always I don't ever think about the conscious decision, but it wasn't a passive decision to stay in Maryland. For one thing, I have never lived in a city until I moved to Baltimore. So this has been a 12-year experience of living in an urban area, which is something that I've never experienced before. I also chose to stay in Maryland because of opportunities for professional growth. And at a time for me, as I'm, you know, building up in the career, I realized having a career, meaningful employment, and not just meaningful in terms of financial, but I mean, where you were engaged in the job that you did, this greater Maryland area gave me that opportunity. So I do believe it was a very conscious decision. Living in Baltimore was because I wanted to have that urban experience. Mm-hmm. And I've learned some of the joys and challenges of our city, but the joys of walkability. I live blocks away from where I work. I live in a part of the city where I can park my car and not move it because my basic needs I can get within blocks around. So it's given me a lifestyle and life choices that I'd never had before. And dang it, let's do it. And so, I decided to stay.
So you've turned into a city girl now, is
not
what you're
quite.
Telling me.
No, I'm going to be the country mouse visiting
the
city.
Okay, yeah. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. Now, the Better Business Bureau of Greater Maryland, what area does that encompass?
It's such a great question, and thank you for asking, because people just think we're either Baltimore-based or they have the concept all of Maryland.
Well, I thought that it was just a national organization, so I was surprised to find out that there are chapters that actually handle regional
divisions. And it's an international brand. We have Better Business Bureaus covering all of Canada, all of the United States, and various parts of Mexico, particularly high tourist areas. So this Better Business Bureau, we cover all of Maryland, except, and I lovingly and laughingly say, the five counties who think they all live in D.C.
Okay.
You know, it's nothing like meeting somebody from Rockville, and you say, hello, where are you from? They say, D.C., what part of Rockville? And you go, no, really Maryland. So we serve all of Maryland except five counties: Prince George's, Montgomery, Calvert, St. Mary's, and Charles.
Okay. Now, you know, I think people hear Better Business Bureau and they think complaints, and I'm sure that everybody asks you about that, but what all does the Better Business Bureau actually do?
And it's always a good story. I can, when I go and talk to seniors and senior citizen groups, and you go in and you speak, and who's heard of the BBB? Of course, everybody raises their hand. Who's filed a complaint? Everybody raises their hand. Who's threatened to file a complaint? Everybody raises two hands. Because generations before, that is what BBB was considered. It was the place to go for dispute resolution. It's where a customer would say, if you don't fix this, if you don't do that, I'm going to file a complaint with the BBB. So that is part of our legacy. And interesting enough, our history and the organization itself is about 106 years old. Our BBB, I'm sorry, 105. Our BBB is 103 years old here in Greater Baltimore or Greater Maryland region. So yes, we've been around for a long time. The legacy of BBB, what really started it, was simply the concept of truth in advertising. So people these days don't connect us that one of the places we help the rudimentary philosophy of trust in the marketplace begins with truth in advertising. So that was our history, is calling out the peddlers, the people who made the magic elixirs that cured warts,
snake oil,
that, the aluminum side, you know, side stories of the salespeople. There's a whole history. You're too young to know, but there was a time when we all bought land in Florida, and it was quicksand
or swamp land.
We've gone through all of these advertising sales pitches in which the marketplace was tainted, and that is the BBB. So we are there about holding businesses accountable in the marketplace. So the evolution, just like any other business, our evolution has been to remain relevant with the times, with the needs that the marketplace, being the business and their customers, consumers in general, business in general, actually need. So we've evolved into beyond the complaint place.
Okay.
Couple of ideas, what we do these days. We've added in our service that we offer to any customer and business, regardless of the industry or anything, customer reviews, because that is so important. People are struggling these days with reputation management. Mm-hmm. We've added customer reviews to one of our critical services that we offer. Anybody can post a review with BBB on a business, but what we do with that review is unique in that we send the review to a business and say, is this your customer? The business has 48 hours to respond, but the onus is on the consumer or the customer to actually say, describe their transaction, to verify that they were a customer. Because you don't want to just take any review. Well, there needs to be that transaction.
It's so easy for any consumer to just kind of put a company on blast for something that happened. And, you know, whether it's a legitimate transaction or not, what's the first step that you say to a business when dealing with a bad review?
Yeah. Bad review or a complaint, first of all, address it. That's what you want to do. You want to own it. You want to acknowledge it. It's so interesting today because I think that's part of this internet sensation of people posting reviews. We just want to be acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
So if the business receives that negative review or, acknowledge and respond, you may want to attempt to say, I would love to talk to you about this matter. Can I reach you? Here's my phone number to reach you. But you also may want to address, what is that customer want?
Mm-hmm.
What is it they're seeking? And attempt to try to help steer them towards that. I frequently, if somebody were to file a or post a review about how they were treated to me, that is an opportunity for customer service training to assure them that I'm going to step back as a business owner and look at how we treat our customers. It's a training opportunity. I'll speak with the supervisor. But you want to own it, indicate that you are going to take action to remedy because you take that seriously, And it's also good to follow up, if you can, offline and have that conversation with them.
Well, and is it more important to address it online or offline, I guess, is another question. Mm-hmm. You know, is it better for the business to engage with that person in the public forum, or to just provide that contact information and say, sounds like you had a bad experience, reach out to me, and then step away from the scrutiny of the general public?
Both, I think you've got a great point, because both are slippery slopes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever want to get a defensive posture, but you do want to acknowledge, you want the people to see that you acknowledge. Sometimes we can skirt around acknowledgement by simply saying, I'd love to talk to you about it, contact me. That, you know, you may want to just try to be a little bit more verbose in your original, so that anybody reading that review understands that you heard the issue, you are going to do something about it, and briefly acknowledge and then attempt to take it offline. Today, so many consumers don't even want to bother with that phone call, that exchange after that. They just go, I'm going to post my review and then I'm done and walk away. That's what we want to avoid.
So let's say somebody comes to the Better Business Bureau and doesn't just post a review, but files an actual complaint with you. What's the next step?
Yeah. Complaints at BBB starts with, and I'll say our BBB, we handle about 10 to 11,000 complaints every year on Maryland businesses, businesses that are headquartered here. So our first step is the complaint must meet our complaint acceptance policy. So we're not going to take a complaint on a business just because somebody was treated rudely. We really don't take pricing complaints. That is the private sector. That's not within our domain.
So if I went to you and I said, I was able to buy this toothpaste for half the price across town, that's not your domain.
It's not our domain. So we're not going to do that. So a complaint must have a valid transaction and meet our complaint acceptance policy. We take that complaint and we begin communications with both parties. And if we send the complaint to the business, we let the customer know, we've sent your complaint to the business. We have 2 days to open the complaint. We send it immediately to the business contact. We ask that they respond and reply to that complaint within 10 days. So we have a clock ticking. We have a goal of trying to resolve the complaint within 30 days. But we're not going to cut off that exchange just to meet an arbitrary
deadline.
Time clock.
Okay.
Right. So, but we want to give the business an opportunity to reply. We send that to the customer, give them an opportunity for rebuttal. We'll go back and forth a little bit. And then if we believe this can be resolved and they're not moving towards a resolution, we would encourage them to consider mediation or arbitration. But the complaint process involves trying to be equitable. Both parties have equal weight, a fair due process that's clearly transparent, that's moving towards resolution. We want a resolution of that complaint. Our job is neutral. We are not a consumer watchdog. We're not the business advocate. We, in a dispute resolution, we are a neutral party. We're facilitating the opportunity for conciliation, mediation, or arbitration.
So if it moves on to mediation or arbitration, is that handled in-house by the BBB?
We coordinate it. We coordinate that activity in-house. So we do all the back-end paperwork, which you would know, another thing we have in common, that back-end paperwork that you must do, to coordinate something like this. That's a little time-consuming.
A little bit.
You know, trying to find an arbitrator or mediator, the customer and the business, times they can meet together. So we do all that type of administrative task, get all the information together, but the actual mediator or arbitrator is, again, a neutral party, is not an employee of BBB. It's somebody that we have a pool of volunteers that do this. They get paid a very minor stipend, but they are usually attorneys. They are people who are familiar with the law and the due process, and they're just willing to go through this.
So why should a consumer go through the Better Business Bureau and through an arbitration process there, as opposed to just filing a lawsuit?
Yeah. So we want to make sure that customers and businesses, so it's not just a consumer's decision, businesses may ought to do this. So both parties, we want them to be aware that using a third party, a neutral party, a couple of things, your costs are less. And most importantly, you're not establishing a public record. It's not a court case that you can find in the Maryland judiciary. It's settled between both parties. We really love binding arbitration, though, because we want, once you go through this exercise, we want the final decision to be a decision both parties agree to. And what we do is, if you go through that arbitration hearing and the business defaults on the resolution, we would actually publish that. We would make that information known in that business's profile. So, because you were given fair, equitable due process for a resolution and a business was unwilling to finalize and adhere to their word. And I think when you're building trust, your word is one of the
most... It's the ultimate
is, are you good to your word? So,
okay.
Yep.
All right, but this is open and available to any business, correct?
Oh,
so
absolutely.
If, you know, Joe Schmo's
shop. Any customer,
shop.
Any business.
Okay,
right.
Yeah. But how does a business then become an accredited business with the Better Business Bureau?
So thank you for this differentiation. We publish public profiles on about 45,000 businesses in our service area. Now, BBB.org is going to have listings from Canada to Mexico, okay? But for locally, we're responsible for the business profiles of about 45,000 businesses. But they're not accredited. That's just the public profile with a rating, business background. If there's been a complaint or a review, you'll find all that there. Accreditation sort of sets the business community apart. Accreditation is a commitment to standards of trust. A business must qualify. Not everybody is eligible for accreditation. They must be approved by our board of directors, and the accredited business will agree to strong ethical business practices. Violation of that commitment could result in revocation of your accreditation. There are some businesses that are not eligible, and we say you can't be part of us, so we deny accreditation. We also deem some businesses ineligible to renew. So what distinguishes us as a business association is you've got to qualify, you've got to be committed to, and you must uphold those ethical standards of trust for your customer as exhibited in your business practices, business behaviors.
So to lose accreditation, what would a business have to do?
Yeah. A good
or not do.
Well, I can give you good examples because we have a standards and compliance committee that's comprised of 6 to 7 of our board members, as well as our legal counsel. So we look at our standards, and it's the staff, my job, the staff's support, and my job to demonstrate what principle this business no longer meets. Easy ones that anybody could agree to. Your industry requires you to be licensed. Maryland Home Improvement license. You didn't renew your license. Your license expired. This time every year, we start looking at summer camps for children.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's really important as a mom, as a woman, but as a business leader, to me it's important that if people are trusting the care of their children to a summer camp, they're coming to BBB. I want to make sure I'm telling them whether or not they're licensed with the state health department and they're meeting all the requirements for a summer camp. So those would be reasons you might revoke, as you no longer meet those licensing. Or you chose, for whatever reason, you had reasons not to resolve a complaint. You can't have an unanswered, unresolved complaint and be accredited with BBB. Those are our two most common reasons.
Okay. But you guys also have your list of, like, the top 10 worst businesses every year, correct?
Yeah, Well, how about we really focus more on industries?
Okay.
And I can tell you the bad industries, but we do publish our bad players. We publish the businesses that move to what we call an F rating because their behaviors, again, it can be anything from licensing to having a pattern of complaint or issues with. We want the public to know. Our job is to celebrate trust in the marketplace mm-hmm. so that customers know the businesses that do great things, but our job is also to denounce the bad players. And so that's one of the things we do. It's not like we do it with pride, but I am...
Well, nobody likes to be the person who's like, no. This person's terrible, don't do business with them.
But it's also our job to say that, too, because... we have supporting documentation. We have the detail to support why this business may have failed in meeting those 8 standards of trust.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are the 8 standards that go into?
Some of them are very simple, but tell the truth. So we want to know business background, business start date, advertise truthfully. We're going to look at your website. If you've got a website that says you're the best of this and you're accredited and certified and you've won all these awards,
you're going to double check it.
Yeah, we double check. So we look at truth in advertising by looking at your website. Respond. We want to make sure if you've ever had complaints or customer reviews, you've taken care of those. Protect privacy. That's becoming such a big issue, right?
Very much so.
In our marketplace, we want to make sure all businesses, and in particular small business, are focused on how they protect their most important asset, their client data. So we're going to look at security. If I'm putting in personal information, do you have a secure website? Is it encrypted? That's really important to me as a customer. So we look for that kind of information. So those would be some of the examples of Elastic standard, though, is one that's I can't always prove. It's a little bit more subjective, and that is operate with integrity.
Okay.
So you're looking for a business that really exemplifies integrity. So that's where you sort of look at the business as a whole, what their customers say about them as a whole.
There's a lot that goes into just the BBB as an entity itself. What does your day-to-day look like? Because it sounds like you're involved at every level here.
Oh, wow. What a question. Okay. my every day.
Do we start at like a 6:30 yoga class and then?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm just now really disappointed. 12 cups of coffee would be a good beginning. No, but first, like any what I believe is good leader, good business owner, I don't do the day-to-day work. I have incredible, awesome, amazing people that every day do the daily core service delivery of BBB. They deliver the brand awareness. They deliver the products and services that we offer to consumers and businesses, and they carry our banner strongly. So I would say, like any business owner, I want to be at the point that I'm not working in the business, I'm working on the business. So talking with you, building partnerships with our BBB. We recently just reached out to or had an introduction with the Maryland Hispanic Chamber. So building partnerships that are meaningful to the businesses and their customers, that's critically important. I become really involved in the Cybersecurity Association of Maryland because I believe so strongly small business needs to mm-hmm. take notice of cyber efforts they need to put in place. So building partnerships, promoting the brand, and I'm still the one that goes out and talks to senior citizens and senior citizens in their community centers and talk about fraud and scam. But I'll tell you something really interesting. If I were to ask you who is the biggest victim of fraud and scam these days, what would your answer be?
I mean, I would typically assume like the senior citizens.
Right, which is why I would be there. No, millennials. Because
all the transactions are online?
Exactly. Okay. Well, you got that one figured out very quickly. But they move fast. The transactions are online. They kind of still, that generation and down, believe everything that's on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They're most likely to click on links that releases malware. So we've changed the tide in who is most vulnerable. Seniors still lose more money, but who's more
vulnerable?
They
have more to lose.
Exactly.
It's interesting. Have you seen a lot of changes then over since you've been with the BBB for 14 years,
mm-hmm.
like in the advent of, you know, internet and online marketing, has it been a learning curve for you to kind of move along with that?
Yeah,
or
it's always again for any business owner trying to maintain relevance in our world, you know, the internet is a challenge. It's an opportunity. So the biggest difference we've seen is when I came, we handled about 12,000 to 15,000 complaints a year. Complaint volume has dropped, but picking up the customer reviews, clearly that's a new product.
Okay.
Over the last 6-7 years. So adding customer reviews to us, people's customers' desire for immediacy. Customers may not be as realistic as they were in
mm-hmm.
the past. They really want to, they have higher expectations for a business. And I think that's changed a little bit. People just wanting to post those reviews. So BBB as a reputation marketing tool has really come into play, which it wasn't into play 15 years ago.
2020, what new initiatives do you have for the BBB with the beginning of this decade?
We have really been working on our strategic plan, thinking about what does the future look like? And boy, I wish I knew. But we know for us, we want, I have a dream. I would love to strengthen our presence with the startup entrepreneur, because I just have this idealistic view that if entrepreneurs begin their business with a greater understanding of their behaviors that demonstrate integrity and trust and ethics, if they do that, the likelihood of their customers trusting them and the likelihood of having positive reputation online and everywhere would be stronger, which would lead to their success.
When I think so many startups and entrepreneurs have this idea of, I'm going to be a disruptor in this industry, you know, whatever the consequences are, be damned. I'm going to change the way that things are done and everybody's going to love me for it. And, you know, I work with a lot of startups in my business and sometimes I have to sit them down and go, it's a great idea, but there are standards in place for a reason. And, you know, have you thought about how that's going to play out, you know, down the road, like in this scenario or
exactly.
in 5 to 10 years?
Yeah. You know, it goes to two things. What you said make me think, first of all, how does that play out with your customer?
Mm-hmm.
And not today, but tomorrow and in the future. You can't build a business if you don't have a customer. And a customer that you can upsell, a customer who repeats, comes back over
yeah.
and over, and refers. That's the model for success. It costs a lot to get a new customer. The customer acquisition costs are astronomical compared to your short-term revenue. So you always want to make sure you're investing. So your point is spot on of what you're looking for that. Thinking of your behavior and the consequences of your business practices.
And I think also so many transactions now, I mean, I'm not going into a brick and mortar store as frequently as I once, you know, did. So there's this wall between you as a business owner and the customer, which is the internet. And it makes it very easy to not care as much because you don't have someone looking right at you saying you did a terrible job. So the Better Business Bureau provides a forum to bring those two sides
mm-hmm.
to the table and
yeah.
to interact in a more traditional method.
I hope so, and I think so. You know, your expression of we don't use brick and mortar anymore. One of the trends are the thing that causes harm, no matter how old you are or who you are the fake websites.
Yes.
How do you even know who you're doing business with is legitimate? And that's not just B2C, that is B2B as well. The website designer you hire from somewhere else and you only know them through online can very easily be fake website, you give your credit card, and you have a little bit of cash flow in problem for a short term.
Yeah.
So that's as likely to happen to a business owner as it is to a consumer. So that integrity of proving yourself more so than ever before when you have that strong online presence is critical. You asked earlier about what does 2020 look like? And I said, you know, for one thing, we want to be more immersed in the startup community. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned earlier, we really want to continue fostering cybersecurity as, you know, important to all business, particularly small business.
Yes.
And, you know, an interesting statistic is 97% of the supply chain for large business is small business. So if a small business has, you know, just the smallest risk factor in their cyber, they can impact the largest company. Mm-hmm. There's so many horror stories. So
especially in this region with our proximity to Fort Meade and various Department of Defense contractors, you know, the little local restaurant can be targeted if they think that they can get to, you know, somebody higher up the food chain.
And we don't want business owners to go, oh, it'll never happen to me. We want them to go, when it happens to me, am I prepared? Mm-hmm. Do I have my legal counsel? Do I have, you know, all the ducks in a row for that? But another initiative that we're really wanting to focus on, particularly our staff in being engaged, is business engagement. How do we engage with our customers and the customer of today and tomorrow and the way customers want? So we're looking strongly at growing opportunities to celebrate and recognize businesses. Offit Kerman was a winner of our Torch Award. What an honor for us that Offit Kerman found trust to be important in their business. That was, they wanted to promote that to their customers. We also established the Spark Award. We've done that for 2 years. That's looking at community, culture, character of a startup business and how they're integrating themselves into the community and the culture they're establishing.
So I love that imagery, the torch and the spark. Like it's all fire, yeah, starting.
It is. And so we, you know, we have events to celebrate that. We have those awards to recognize. But we also are partnering. Our engagement is to partner with other organizations, private sector, public sector, to offer events. And events being, you get something, whatever the customer wants.
Mm-hmm.
Do they get networking where they build relations? Do they get a bit of information and education? Do they get exposure to something they're not receiving through other memberships or within their industry sector? So partnering up to increase business engagement is really important to us and an effort and initiative we're doing. And just simply trying to engage with our business community through social media. So you've got to be creative. You've got to find ways to listen to what they say and create that two-way communication. And that's true for every business, from Offit Kerman to, you know, the little guy down the street.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody's trying to do, is how are you relevant? How are you engaged? How are you using social media as a platform? So for business owners, whew, it is hard.
It is very hard.
Yeah. I feel like I keep trying to say every day, old dog, new trick. I'm going to make it. So, yeah.
Well, and I have to say, like, as a consumer at some level, like, mm-hmm. I've had local businesses that I've never heard of reach out to me over social media. Like, if you post a, you know, like an Instagram picture and you say, hey, I'm in this part of Maryland, suddenly I'm getting like little cafes who I didn't know existed liking my photo and following me. And then I'm intrigued. Like, I've gone in, I've checked it out. I'm like, oh, this place is pretty cute. I might have a new favorite.
It's a smart way of capturing it versus somebody walking around with a little sandwich board that says, you know, eat at my cafe. Yeah. Now we're doing it in a different way with the thumbs up. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today. This has been fabulous. I've learned so much.
Well, it's been wonderful. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about BBB. That has been, that's so wonderful. And thanks to Offa Kerman for also being a believer in BBB and a champion and advocate. That means a lot to me as well.
This has been CEO Minutes, brought to you by Offit Kerman, Attorneys at Law, your perfect legal partner. For more information and to tell your entrepreneurial story, visit us on the web at ceominutes.com.